world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, crazy, crazy times, you know. Guys going to the moon again, full moon, biggest full moon ever. Holy Week, whatever that means. And excited, maybe that's not the right word, but that's some stuff I really, really want to share with you. I don't know about you guys, but I grew up Catholic. Nothing against Catholicism. I grew up Catholic, and I was trained to do the signs of the cross, or not the sign, stations of the cross and communion, and it was in Latin and all that stuff. And I got I think I said before, I got a good foundation about morality. I learned that from my Catholicism. But and from my experience on Catholicism, I didn't learn anything about the Bible ever. We were never encouraged to go take a Bible with us to church. Churches there were, but where I went wasn't. There weren't any Bibles in the pew. In my Christian walk, I never associated the Bible with Christ. I was taught religion. And it's not just true of. By the way, we're going to take communion, get some communion, but we're going to do it here a little bit later in the show. So bear with me a second. And even though I understood the Stations of the Cross, we used to do that in the Catholic Church, the Crucifixion of Christ. I really didn't understand it. And what I understood was, because I've been trained, that what I would do on Sunday is I would confess. Part of the Mass would be a confession. And then I would go. You could go to confession. That was something entirely different. You didn't have to go to confession every time you went to church, but you should go to confession regularly to confess your faults one to another, the scripture says. So you'd go into the priest, and you'd go in this little cubby hole. He'd be in one spot, and you'd come in on the other side of it, and he would listen to you confess your sins. And then after you confess your sins, then you would go take communion. And just for me, I mean, maybe others it was different. I never really associated those two. Didn't have any idea what the blood of Jesus was all about. Didn't really understand. Really didn't. Maundy Thursday and the Stations of the Cross, and Friday night was Good Friday, and you didn't eat meat. And so in my youth, as I'm growing up, that's what Good Friday became. You didn't eat meat. You didn't really understand it. Now, crucifixion of Christ, yada, yada, yada. The kingdom, the coming of a kingdom. And it wasn't until I got radically saved in January 28th, 1987, that this whole thing began to make sense to me. I was 38 years old and been in church my whole life and didn't understand anything about the Bible. Nothing. They didn't teach me anything about the Bible. They told me what the reading was for this week, and we read it and stand up and sit down and kneel. I'm just telling you my experience. I'm trying not to be critical. It's just my experience. And so as a result of that, I had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. And I didn't really, really understand that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The shedding of blood. I didn't understand the scripture said that the soul that sins, it shall die. I didn't understand that. In fact, I didn't even know what a soul is. And there are probably some of you who are watching right now today that don't even know what the soul is. Mind, the will, and the emotions, the thing, the essence that makes you what it is. Your spirit is different. Your spirit's like a balloon that gives life, pumps air, pumps oxygen into you. But the spirit isn't you. Your spirit is a life-giving force. I didn't understand that. Holy Spirit. Life, receive you the Holy Spirit. He breathed on, receive you, breathe it in. Holy Spirit of God inside you. Never understood any of that. Didn't get it. And so whole idea of then all the rituals and all the things we followed and all the things we did in church. And I'm not making fun of Catholicism. I could do the same. You're doing the same thing today in your Evangelifish church, doing the same thing. People sitting in there don't even really understand what the heck's all about. Didn't really get it. So I want to do a couple things. Number nine, I want to pull up number five. I want to start right here. Just bear with me. Joe, we're going to get to communion. I promise. Stay with me, folks. Pull up number five. Because all of us out there, most of us out there, could probably recite the Lord's Prayer without it, right? I want to point out some really, really important things here. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Now, somebody help me out. Is that the exact opposite of what we teach in church? In church, don't they teach you that we're going to heaven? As if heaven was where we're supposed to go? But the kingdom of God, my friends, well, I just pulled this up, okay? Stay with me. We'll take communion. I want you to understand what's going on here before we take it, okay? Excuse me. The kingdom of God is referenced often in the Gospels and other places in the New Testament. The kingdom of God is synonymous with the kingdom of heaven. The concept of the kingdom of God takes on various shades of meaning in different passages of Scripture. Come on now, friends. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. This isn't about heaven. This ain't about going to heaven. More narrowly, the kingdom of God's a spiritual rule over the hearts and lives of those who willingly submit to God's authority. Those who defy God's authority and refuse to submit to him are not part of the kingdom of God. Folks, the kingdom of God is here and now and present. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is within. It's not someplace we're gone. Every authority that exists has been established by God, Romans 13. So in one sense, the kingdom of God incorporates everything that is. More narrowly, the kingdom of God is a spiritual rule over the hearts and lives of those who willingly submit to God's authority. Folks, it's a kingdom. It's a kingdom rule. Christ said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." In other words, we are not going to heaven. The kingdom is coming on earth. It's coming to us. It's in us. The kingdom of God is within. Hang on. More narrowly, those who defy God's authority and refuse to submit to him are not part of the kingdom. In contrast, those who acknowledge the lordship of Christ and gladly surrender to God's rule in their hearts, there's the kingdom. There's the kingdom. Surrendering to God's rule in their hearts are part of the kingdom of God. You're not going to heaven. In this sense, the kingdom of God is spiritual. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Folks, of. What if Jesus said, "My kingdom is not in this world"? What if Jesus said, "My kingdom is not from this world"? He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." It's otherworldly, the kingdom of God. It's not someplace you're gone. It's something that's coming in you to rule and reign in the hearts of men. The kingdom of God. Oh, boy. Jesus said his kingdom was not of this world. And he preached that repentance is necessary to be part of the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God can be created with the sphere of salvation is evident. When Jesus said the kingdom of God must be entered into by being born again. There is, in another sense, in which the kingdom of God is used in Scripture. It is, look. It is the literal rule of Christ on the earth during the millennium. Christ's kingdom has already come. You know how I know that? It's in me. It's in me. The Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? On earth. On earth. Sure, Christ rules in heaven, but he rules on earth. Why? It's in us. The kingdom is within us. There's another sense in which the kingdom of God is used in Scripture, the literal rule of Christ on earth. Daniel said the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Where? Here! Many of the other prophets predicted the same thing. Some theologians refer to the future open manifestation of the kingdom of God as the kingdom of glory, and the present hidden manifestation of the kingdom of God as the kingdom of grace. But both manifestations are connected. Christ has set up his spiritual reign in the church here on earth. We're supposed to be in control. And he will one day set up his physical reign in Jerusalem. Right now, he's handing it off to us. See, the kingdom of God has several aspects. Bear with me. Some of you have never heard this. The Lord is sovereign over all the universe. I don't know if those guys went to the moon or not, but I can tell you what, when they get up there, he's in charge. I promise you that. All right. The Lord is sovereign over the universe. So in that sense, his kingdom is universal. He's all of it. Hey, it's a different realm, folks. It's a different realm. It's not the physical realm. At the same time, the kingdom of God involves repentance and new birth. As God rules in the hearts of his children in this world in preparation for the next, the work begun on earth will find its consummation in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. God's will is supposed to be done on earth. And who is supposed to do it? His ambassadors. We are ambassadors to a worldly, earthly kingdom. And his kingdom and rule is not of this world. It ain't about, well, Psalm 2, the kings of this earth set themselves, rulers take counsel together. See, there's another group that's ruling here that isn't supposed to be ruling. They're not supposed to be in charge. Whole creation groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the kingdom of the sons of God to show up. You know this, don't you? The average church has no interest in being dominion. They don't believe. In fact, they call us dominionists. Dominion. Hey, Spence, real quickly. Go to Mr. Webster. What's dominion? Sovereign or supreme authority? Folks, I'm a dominionist. God has all authority and the power and controls everything. When people say to you, why, Gene, you're a dominionist, you'll say, damn right I am. You're damn right I am. Huh? A dominion, thy kingdom come. That's a dominion on earth. And why is it not being successful? Because, come on now, the church has relinquished their authority. We obey the government. The government says abortion is legal. We say, oh, okay. Does God think abortion is okay? No, but it doesn't matter because we're secular. We have a secular government. You understand? Okay, I don't want to get bogged down on this. The kingdom of God, it tells us in Romans that the kingdom of God, I'm going a little quiz here. Somebody help me out. Where is the kingdom of God? Somebody tell me, where is it?
In us.
Within. And then someplace we're gone. Do you understand? Coach Dave is looking at you right now. Do you understand that Christ rules and reigns in my life? He is in control in my life. Now, he and I wrestle every once in a while because sometimes I want to be in control. But ultimately, he's in control. Why? Because his kingdom has come and it's within me. The kingdom of God is within. We got people waiting to go to heaven. It's not the same thing, folks. It's not the same. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. So I want to, before we take communion today, I want us to understand what we're doing. That the scriptures, legally now, see, God's a legalist. I'm sorry. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But he's a legalist, man. Then he says, boom, Spencer. Spencer, do something I missed there. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Okay. It's within. The kingdom's within. And so the kingdom's within me, and I live it out everywhere I go. You're right, RJ. The church teaches the kingdom is someplace we're going. And it's not. It's come. Okay, hang on. So before we get going to this, I want you guys to understand The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Okay, Spencer, how quick are you, man? What's a remission? What is a remission? Without the shedding of blood, that was a clue, Spence. Look up remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Remission, a abatement, a moderation, a release, a discharge, a relinquishment of a claim or right. Without the shedding of blood, you are under the curse. The soul that sins, it shall die. Only by the blood of Jesus are we pardoned, forgiveness, pardoned. Only through the blood of Jesus. Not through confirmation, it's your catechism. No. Not the fact that you have been in the Baptist church your whole life. A lot of lost people sitting in the Baptist church. A lot of lost people sitting in the Presbyterian church. They have a form of godliness and they deny the power thereof. And they don't understand that the kingdom's already come. It's already come. Okay, so as we dive into this thing, I'm going to show you a couple things. Pull up number one. Jesus Christ standing before Pilate. Time out. Quiz time. Somebody help me out here. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Here on Good Friday, which, by the way, it probably wasn't Friday. Probably wasn't. And as we've done, as we always do here, Coach Dave, who's taught you that and why do you believe it? Well, history has made it Good Friday, but it probably wasn't Friday. 3 days in the grave. It's supposed to be three days and three nights in the grave. That's what the Bible says. You get crucified on Friday, Saturday, you're up on Sunday. That ain't 3 days, folks. That ain't 3 days. Sorry what they taught you. That ain't 3 days. Okay? But I want to show you something here. Understand this. Jesus lived a sinless life. How that happened, I don't know. Except he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had the ability to do it. And Jesus was going around telling people about the kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this world. Not of this world. Not from this world. Not in this world. My kingdom is otherworldly. You're never going to find that kingdom if you're looking for it. It's not of this world. It's a different dimension. But here's the good thing. I gave you the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit that is third person of the Trinity comes in you. And now when he comes in you, you have the ability to let God rule and reign on the earth. Give me a thumbs up, Betty. Is this making sense? We're not taught that, folks. We're taught, get saved so you go to heaven. No, get saved so that you become a soldier in the army of Christ advancing a kingdom. Murdering babies, abortion, transgenderism, all that. Folks, that's all the rule of the evil one. And the only one who can defeat the rule of the easy one, his kingdom came. And what came? His authority. We have the ability to say no. Okay, hang on. Joe, before we do communion, I want people to understand this, okay? So pull up for me number four, real quickly. Number four, a medical description of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Hey, folks, he was a real dude in a real body, suffering real pain. Because why? Somebody, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's a part of you, your soul, that's going to go someplace. And without the shedding of blood, your soul isn't going to heaven. Without the shedding of blood. Why? Blood was the price. So Jesus died on the cross. God sent him as his only son, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross. Why? Because somebody had to pay. Somebody had to pay. What? Wage. Somebody had to pay. And who paid the wage? Jesus. And who gets the benefit of the wage being paid? Me and you. Hey, folks, Not some Jew in Israel. I mean, they can receive it. The kingdom hasn't come in the heart of non-Christians. Folks, the kingdom has not come in the hearts of non-Christians. The kingdom has not come in the hearts of Jews. It hasn't come. It hasn't come. Why? They haven't received it. You got to receive it. So here it is. This is really good. I mean, I think it's really good. So Jesus Christ went and died on that cross because he had to balance the books. But did you ever really study what the crucifixion was? This is wicked, man. This is wicked. Go ahead and play this. It's only about 4 minutes, I think.
Heard a medical description of Jesus' crucifixion. Warning, this can get a bit graphic. Jesus has already suffered from a condition known as hematohidrosis, where he sweat drops of blood due to the anxiety and stress. He has been beaten, he has not slept, and he's traveled by foot a distance of roughly 2.5 miles. This is where we come to the part where he is scourged. In a traditional Roman scourging, the criminal would be stripped naked and tied to a short pillar so that his back would be exposed to the whipping from the scourge. The whip used for this would have pieces of bone and pieces of metal in the whip to cause bruising and tearing of the skin. The skin of his back would literally be hanging off in ribbons. This is why Isaiah says, "By his stripes we are healed." A great number of people that would undergo this punishment would not survive the scourging. After the crown of thorns is pressed upon his head, a robe is placed upon his back and then ripped off. Jesus is almost for certain in shock due to blood loss. He is laid down upon the cross and his hands and feet are nailed to it. The Greek word for hand also encompasses the wrist, which is most likely where the nails went through, as the hands themselves wouldn't have been able to sustain his weight without ripping through the nails. Crucifixion is where we get our English word excruciating from, because of the great pain that was caused. The nails in Jesus' wrists would have severed the medial nerve, causing great pain going down his arms, and the nail in his feet would have severed the dorsal pedal artery, causing great blood loss and pain shooting up his legs. As the cross is raised, Jesus' full weight bears down on those nails. His shoulders would have become dislocated, and his arms would have been stretched to a length of 6 inches longer than they normally would be. Normally, to breathe, the diaphragm needs to move down so that air can fill into the lungs. As Jesus hangs on the cross, the weight of his body is pushing that diaphragm down so that air comes into his lungs but cannot go out. He cannot exhale unless he pushes himself up on the nail that is in his feet. This makes breathing excruciating. And most often, the cause of death in crucifixion would be suffocation due to the inability to exhale. Which makes it all the more amazing that Jesus spoke 7 times from the cross, one of which where he pushes himself up to be able to say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The decreased oxygen due to the difficulty in exhaling causes damage to the tissues, and the capillaries begin leaking watery fluid from the blood into the tissues. This results in a buildup of fluid around the heart and the lungs. The collapsing lungs, failing heart, dehydration, and inability to get sufficient oxygen to the tissues essentially suffocates the victim. The decreased oxygen also damages the heart itself, which causes myocardial infarction, resulting in cardiac arrest. Jesus most likely died from a heart attack on the cross. In order so that the bodies would not remain upon the cross during the Passover, the soldiers were instructed to break the legs of those that were crucified. This would give them the complete inability to breathe, causing their death to come quicker. When they come to Jesus, they found that he was already dead. They pierced his side with a spear, and the Bible says out came blood and water, the fluid built up due to the lack of oxygen from his crucifixion. This is how much he loves you. And upon all this, he bore the weight of your sin, suffering the wrath of God so that you could be forgiven. He went through all of it for you.
Wow, huh? Wow. Let me show you another one here before we take communion. Wow. That's sobering. Pull up number 3 and put it at the 3 minute 13 second mark. Crucifixion and crowd. We talk about it, don't we? We talk a lot about it. This is from the movie Jesus of Nazareth. Go ahead.
The last person that insult. He is not the king of the Jews.
Those are the orders we receive.
Take down that sign.
Get out of the way.
It's an insult.
You cannot kill him. You have no right to do it.
Why?
Now, all of you, stay back.
Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Freeze it, freeze it, freeze it, freeze it. He's not talking about the Romans. Father, forgive them. Betty, you, Gene, Larry, forgive them. You don't know what you're doing. He's not talking about the Romans. Go ahead.
If you're what you say you are, if you're the Messiah, why don't you save yourself? And us.
Leave him alone. Don't you fear God, even when you are dying?
We deserve to die, for we are receiving the just punishment for our crimes.
But this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today, you will be with me in paradise.
Okay, freeze it there. Freeze it there. Freeze it there. Words mean things. It says, remember me when you come into the kingdom. What did Jesus say? This day you'll be with me in paradise. Because why? Paradise ain't the kingdom. Kingdom is coming. He died that the kingdom would come. And Jesus said to him, this day you'll be with me in paradise. That's another realm. We could call that heaven. You could call it whatever you want to. He said, we're going to be in another realm. But dude, I hung on this cross because my kingdom is coming. My authority is coming. You get it? I can show more. Put it in the chat. Go ahead and put that in the chat. I want to show you number two, and then we're going to do communion. This is the peace-loving Jesus Christ. Jesus loves everybody. Going into the brood of vipers where the religious folk live. By the way, we still have broods of vipers. They're called churches. A lot of them, broods of vipers. Go ahead and play it.
Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, Master, that I may believe in him?
You're seeing him. It is he that is speaking to you.
I believe, Lord.
Make way! Make way there! Make way!
Become the religious, folks.
Out of the way! Clear the way! The priest is here! Alakuk is here!
This lying cheat was never blind.
What?
We of the temple know that he only pretended to be blind in order to earn his living.
He's right! He's a liar! I've known him a long time! He's never been blind!
And what's your story? That you can give sight to the blind? I came into this world to give sight to those who cannot see. And to take away sight from those who can.
What do you mean by that? That we who are righteous are blind?
If you were blind, you would be without sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains.
So much religion.
This man works through the devil!
No!
He's a cheat! A fanatic!
Who to you, scribes and Pharisees? Hypocrites all! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men! You do not go in yourselves, nor do you let others enter! Blind guides! You strain at a gnat and swallow a camel! You bow before the letter of the law and violate the heart of the law! Justice! Mercy! Good faith! You are like whited sepulchres, all clean and bare without, but within, full of dead men's bones and all corruption. You see these stones, do you not? I tell you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Yours is a house of desolation, the home of the lizard and the spider. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can any of you escape damnation? You shall not see me here again. Not until you learn to cry, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." For I and my Father are one and the same.
He is a blasphemer!
This is the man!
Whitehead sepulchres!
You have forsaken the Lord, and now you despise the Holy One of Israel!
You don't speak for the people of Israel! Listen to the teachings of our God!
J6, see the rebellion against the government. That's why they killed him. That's why they killed him. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And that's what communion is all about. It's a continuous reminder of repentance and forgiveness. That apart from Christ, you're powerless and worthless. That the kingdom of God came. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. It came. The kingdom of God is within. Right now, the rule and reign of Jesus Christ can be in your life. He gave you the rules. He spiritualized the Ten Commandments. They went to Jesus and said, "How many commandments are there? 10 of them?" He said, "Nah, there's only two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." That's the first four commandments. And the second's like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. It's two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. That's it. All those Ten Commandments, huh? They were just classifications of sins. That's all it was. And that's what he said. That ain't about that, dude. It's about the way you treat other people, by receiving the Spirit of God inside you and the way you treat people. Amen. So a lot of us walk around. Jesus said in Matthew, I believe it is, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. He said, dude, you get born again, you let the Spirit of God come inside of you, and you are in charge. Go make disciples of all nations. Go do it. Oh, by the way, they're going to hate you. You're going to be hated of all men. They may not even vote you in the election. Because why? Why did they have to crucify Jesus? Because he was speaking against the established religious system. I mentioned when the video was playing, it's just J6 all over again. J6, lock up all the protesters. Lock up anybody that would protest against the government. Lock them all up. It ain't any different in Christianity, folks. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, thinking we can't stop the murder of babies. We can't stop the spread of homosexuality. We don't understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and power. We don't understand. This whole Christian thing, we don't understand. Because they teach us religion, as Jesus said, they heap up the doctrines and commandments of men, making the word of God none effect. Do this, don't do that, yada, yada, boom. That's where we are. So communion is nothing more than a constant reminder in us of what it is he did and what it is we're supposed to do with what he did. Come back every day, say, Lord, boy, am I a sinner. I know this, Lord. You broke that bread, which is symbolic of your body. And as often as I eat this and drink this, we're good. But before you eat this and drink this, you're supposed to clean up your life. You're supposed to repent and then not do it anymore. When I was a Catholic Church, they called it penance. And I would go in and I'd tell the priest in confession that I lied 5 times. And I just kind of made up stuff. I didn't know what I'd done. And then I'd go to communion. I confessed and I went to communion. So before we get ready to take this, I'm going to let Joe come in and lead us here in a second. You better confess yourself, your sins to the Lord. You have to do it publicly. Before I take this, I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me of all the crap I did just in the last 24 hours, stupid stuff I did. Why? Because I'm fleshly. And without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to leave a Christian. It's impossible. You can't do it. And because you can't do it, we have a mediator. Bible, soul that sins, it shall die. You sin, you're going to die. It's a death penalty. Sin is. But Jesus died for you. He paid the bill. But you are going to have to make the decision to get an invitation to the party. What's the invitation to the party? I'm a sinner. I need a savior. Christ is my savior. His blood on Calvary washed me clean, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And he died on that cross, and he told me that if I would confess my sins and believe in him, my sins would be forgiven. It's not a license to continue to sin all the time. Stop doing it. Stop doing it. How about this one? Two sides to every story, aren't there? Two sides to every story. Yeah. Having trouble with your spouse? Well, she's got a reason why. You got a reason why. Having trouble with your kids? Well, he's got a reason why. And you got a reason why. Two sides to it. It's called reconciliation. Daily I fight being a child of the devil. Daily. Daily. And I try to come back and live under those kingdom principles. Huh? Yeah. I've sinned. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Think about your relationship with whoever, wayward children, whatever. Did you ever go to somebody and give a really, truly heartfelt apology to them and they totally and completely flip you off, say, get out of here? No. See, there's a humility in forgiveness. There's a humility. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Now the option's theirs. They don't want to forgive you. You've delivered your own soul. As opposed to carrying the root of bitterness inside of us because we won't forgive. Well, I'll forgive when you do. It's like you bring two little kids together, two little five-year-olds, and they're fighting. And you say, okay, stop it. You guys apologize. And they fold their arms and said, one says, I will, he will. And neither one wants to be the first one. I forgive you. I'm moving on. Jesus said, I forgive you. Move on. Come on in, Joe, and lead us here in the elements. Thanks for getting up.
The reading this morning is Isaiah 53:3-12. They don't read this in synagogues because it tells the truth.
Amen.
He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed.
The stripes on the back, huh? The stripes on the back.
As we are all, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Mm. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is bought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living.
Mm.
For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities, and therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made the intercession for the transgressors.
So Joe, if I read this right, we deserve to be on that cross, didn't we, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? That's what it means when it says he died in our place. We deserved it.
Yeah, And this just shows how great a prophet Isaiah was. Think about this. 600 years, wasn't it before?
Yeah, at least, yeah.
So much truth that the synagogues won't let you even cite the verses.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you on this day of days. And we have an inkling of what happened. We have a heartful, quasi-academic, empathic understanding of what happened, Lord. But we do not comprehend. We really don't comprehend. But we're trying. Some of us have tears in our eyes, and we're trying. For what happened today is also embedded in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him may not perish but have everlasting life. And that little sentence gave Isaiah prophesied what that really meant hundreds of years before our Lord was on the earth. And he described it to a T. So, Lord, we are grateful. We are so grateful for salvation. We are so grateful for the path, the prophetic path that you laid with the great prophets, showing us your plan and carrying it out, making it be, letting us have salvation. And we understand that this is from the foundations of the earth that you knew this would happen. And yet you saw fit to create us knowing we would fall and your Son would bear such a price. He still created us. We are not deserving, but we must be worthy. Otherwise, you would not have made such sacrifice for us. So help us. Help us, Lord, to surrender. Help us to be your disciples. Help us to walk the path you would have us walk, that straight and narrow path, especially this day. Let's share the love of Jesus. Let him shine through us. Let people start to see our Lord in us.
Amen.
Just a little bit, just now and then, would be amazing. Let them see him in us.
Amen. Amen.
And as we pray, Lord, I remember Tina Peters in that jail, in that prison in Colorado. She should not be there. The people that put her there should be there, Lord. Keep her healthy. Keep her spirits full and strong. Give her protection and free her, Lord. And bring true justice to that state and to the rest of this country. And we see your hand in our country, Lord. Please let the truth reign. Let the truth come out quickly now, Lord. Let the truth come out quickly and bring justice to our country and to the world, Lord. We're not the only country where they steal elections and the media lies and the financial system and tax systems abuse the population. It's all over the world. Bring true justice and give freedom to the world, Lord. And I know that today there's a lot of people with aches and pains in their heart, and their bodies are in their souls. Heal these, Lord. Let this be the meal that heals. Bless this bread and drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us so many years ago. Forgive us our sins and transgressions as we come into your sight in this holy moment. And we participate in the covenant, the living covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't just a historical thing. It's a living covenant that communion allows us to participate in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine till that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Wow, this has been a little bit different, hasn't it? Been a little different. Golly, we're almost out of time here. P.S. Come on, man. You've been waiting a while, brother. Come on in.
What government would rule someone innocent and then still kill him anyway?
Well, it's called a propitiary.
Wouldn't that be like a hit job?
That'd be a hit job. Yeah, it would. Yeah.
Unjust.
If it's important that understand that it was unjust, right? It's all unjust.
But if you're him, when you say, "Wait, you got the offense towards him, you go kill him."
Yeah.
I think it's symbolic, like the rebellion of your own children, but it's also the world that killed him. It was everybody that was in sin that killed him.
That's right. It is. And see, the great folks, the whole idea, it's a redemption story. Redemption. Redemption. Start over. Stop it. Start over. Oh, well, you're a homosexual. You're a transgender. Well, stop it and start over. It can happen to everybody. Let me tell you something. I don't care what sin it is that you have. It has a hold of you. It has a hold of you, dude. Whether it's trannyism or homosexuality or gluttony or what, you better understand it's got a hold on you. And it's sin. You say, "Well, I was just born this way." Well, dude, get born again. Come on in, David Arthur. I feel you this morning. Come on in.
I'm just, amen. Amen on everything. And I just ask everybody to keep me and everybody that shows up tomorrow in Gorham at the library to stand against this deviant and woman face from corrupting more children. Just keep us lifted up. Keep us, you know, for protection, safety, strength, courage, guidance, and the lead of the Holy Ghost. Because it's really important that we show up. If we don't show up, then what are we really doing? I mean, we could sit behind this keyboard all day long and send messages out and post posts and make memes and all of those things. But if we don't show up, we're not doing nothing.
Didn't Jesus say, "Suffer not the little children to come unto me"?
Amen.
He did say that, didn't he? Huh? And didn't he say this, my friends, that it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself suicide into the deepest part of the ocean than to even mislead even one of these little ones that believe in me? And we see these little children every day being deceived in our government schools, and the church won't do anything about it. Sorry, Michelle, I had to get that point in. We can't ask evil men to do good. We can't ask evil men to do good. They can't do it. We have to ask good men to do good. We have to ask good men to be salt of the earth and light of the world. That's what we have to do. And what's the promise? They're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. Why? Because it's a war. It's a war. Dude, I don't know. Did I put it up here? Listen, folks. Hey, Spencer, real quickly. Man, I only got 5 minutes left. Nobody's got their hands up. They're not interested. Then pull up Jamie Walden's Scorched Earth. Scorched. I didn't do it. Pull that up, folks. I watched this yesterday. Somebody sent it to me. It's 1 hour and 27 minutes. Jamie Walden. It's powerful. Hey, Spencer, just go someplace. Just go 2 minutes into it and play something, 2 minutes of it. It is. Hey, look at me. It's really good. Go ahead.
On the natural, we see it played out in our humanistic nature and the historicity of humanity, and it's exactly what Satan is exacting right now on the face of the earth. This is Satan's hell week. This is his scorched earth policy. The reason why I was burning to talk about this is because I was watching, as I told you, kind of push and play on the camera or whatever, is watching these fowl of the air circling around Tel Aviv, masses and masses, which, you know, Tel Aviv's been getting hit. Tel Aviv's been getting struck. We know Tel Aviv is the center of all the LGBT on the face of the earth. Tel Aviv is the Mecca, for lack of a better word, which that even that's gross too, but it's the Mecca of all open Canaanitic ancient mystery religion, Talmudic, Babylonian, sex, rites, and rituals of all perversion against the holy God is Tel Aviv, Israel. And most people don't even know that. It is the center of the earth for wickedness. And yet here we are.
Freeze it. See, that's why Christ's kingdom is so important in Israel. His kingdom has to come in Israel. His kingdom has to come. Keep playing.
Middle of what's going on with Iran, whether, well, I know it's a prophetic war, I just don't know which one, Psalm 83 or Ezekiel 38, right, or Jeremiah 49, but it's definitely a prophetic war. And then all of a sudden you see these masses of crows circling in Tel Aviv. And the Holy Spirit just prompted me, he's like, where the fowl gather for the carcasses of the great men, that's when you'll know the bad things are coming. This is Satan's hell week. So what the Lord spoke into my spirit, his hell week is beginning. He gets a short window.
Oh, hey, folks, it's really, really good. It is really good. It's 1 hour. You can speed it up a little bit. But boy, it's the stuff that we're not hearing. I got 2 minutes. Anybody want to say something here before we run? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Well, Coach, I wanted to say, too, that if anybody out there is looking to start a brigade or open up one and you want to start doing monthly meetings or meetings whenever, quarterly, however you want to do it, please contact us and we'll help you get set up.
Let's get it going, man. Let's get it going. Come out of her. Come out of her. That's what I think the message of the day is. Come out of those fake stone Christian sepulchers full of dead men's bones and all corruption is what the Lord said. Mary Beth, quickly.
There are so many demonic places here that I've been through. It's unbelievable. And God was right there every single time.
Amen. Amen. Good Friday. Good Friday. Wow. Wasn't real good for him, was it? Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.